Let's just say there's going to be a lot of throat clearing today. It's the news, according to me. Hey, it's Friday, August 7th, 9:49 a.m. already. Just getting into the show here. We got, August 7th, 2026, just in case you're wondering what year it is. Never know what happens. Sometimes my files they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I click on them to put them in something. I don't pay attention. I just upload them and go. Find out later I've put in a show from 2 years ago or something. I haven't done that yet, but it could happen because I'm a confused old man and trying to do this podcast silly thing. I don't know. Anyway, I still have this sinus thing going on, and it's kind of flared back up again. I don't know. I know I've been in a very dusty environment recently. I think the smoke has kind of come back. I've noticed the haze. Yesterday morning there was a kind of a serious looking haze as the sun was coming up. It was more than just fog. It was that greenish colored haze. It wasn't just the fog. When it's foggy or when it's humid, when you have that kind of humidity going on, that tends to cause it's more of a reddish color. It becomes almost a greenish color when you get smoke involved in that kind of a thing. At least that's been my observation throughout the years. I've got a cup here full of chai with Almond Joy creamer in it, and I've also got a backup cup with a peach in there with some sweet tea. I gotta say, I think that's almost one of my better batches of sweet peach tea. It's pretty good. It's a little bit watered down right now. I had quite a bit of ice in there this morning, but that's pretty good. That's pretty good stuff right there. Yeah, so I still got this sinus thing going on. So I'm hopefully gonna catch the mute button enough when I do all my coughing and hacking. I know it's very attractive to say some things like that. Gives you a good visual what I'm doing here behind the microphone. We have I've got the podcast alarm kind of thing going off. That's good. That's because I just started it up. I'm supposed to get an email every time somebody starts up the podcast caller. That's what happened. I get that thing all the time. It's been kind of weird because it's been kind of interesting. I've been getting that alarm has been going off sometimes in the middle of the night or at times during the day when I obviously am not on the thing. So it's been kind of interesting to watch that. So somebody's logging in somewhere and checking it out. I have the podcast caller. Yeah, by the way, this show is not brought to you by any. There's no sponsor. I sponsor this show. This show is brought to you by me. The only thing that I've got going on is this podcast caller app, podcastcaller.com. And that's kind of the only thing that really is the sponsors, I guess. I'm sponsored by that because it is my thing and I use it. So therefore, I guess it's not really a sponsorship, but it's, well, you get the picture. It's my little gizmo, my little toy I play with. That's some other things going on in the background here. But I don't have Claude doing anything this morning. Typically I've got Claude building something while I'm here. I can just sit here and push the permissions button. Not doing that this morning. I was going to have him do something. I can't remember what it was. I was out walking the dogs this morning. I thought about it, and I was like, I probably should have that running while I'm doing this. I'm building whatever. Anyway, it's not happening. So that's all I got to say about that. So I've got this little ditty. I usually play this little ditty for you as I'm doing my thing here, simply because that's what I do. And I just kind of do that. And I have I think I've gone all the way down the one side now. I think I need to go. Not sure where I am on the other side. I think I need to start with this one. I think we're just going to start here. So just listen to this, and we'll be right back with you.
Before we get started, here's what you should know. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you tuned in. I've got things to say, and I don't know where to begin. But first, a word, a little tiny word from this is entertainment, not a medical degree. I'm not a doctor, not a doctor, not a lawyer, not a lawyer, not a financial.
take on things. Not professional advice, read the fine print, please. I'm here for your enjoyment, nothing more, nothing less.
But definitely don't sue me.
I've given you my best. I might sound convincing when I get on a roll, and yeah, I googled that, so maybe I'm on a scroll. But for the real stuff, your body, your wallet, your rights, call a professional and maybe tune in Friday nights.
Opinions, just my thoughts,
for entertainment,
just entertainment, that's the shot.
Now that we've covered all the legal stuff and more, let's get this show started. That's what you came here for.
Yeah, enough of that. We have now you can call your lawyer and let him know that you can't do anything to me. You can't. I'm untouchable now in the legal sense. don't try it. I'll send my singers after you. We have a lot of stuff going on in the world today. Today's Financial Friday, so basically the show is going to be all about finances, or that's the theory. I have a tendency to kind of go off on tangents a few times a day in a show. So I don't know how this is going, you know, maybe or maybe not. It'll be about finances. I've got this thing going on where I copy and paste. I don't even look at what the topics are typically going on with the whole thing with the agents are going to ask me. I don't have it done. Oddly enough, I don't have it automated yet. I've run into a little bit of an issue with the agent that lives on this particular computer. I can't always trust the little booger, and I'm working on some things that are going to be kind of put some guardrails on him, because he'll lie through his teeth. Say that he's done something, he doesn't do it, and it's just or say he can do something. Okay, this is done, that's done. Okay, that's great, and then I'm going to find out. Well, I hadn't actually implemented it yet. Oh, you said it was done. What's your definition of done? Is it the common definition, or do you have your own little AI world definition of this thing? Is that what happens? And it's not just been once. It's been many times this little booger has done that kind of stuff. Don't trust him with anything, which is kind of weird. Granted, the LLM that he's running on is a very cheap one, so I think that's probably part of the issue. It might even be a Chinese one. I'm not sure if it's Kimmy or whatever. I'm not sure what it is. This particular one runs on right now. That's soon to change, because we're going to have our own LLM that everything's going to run on. It's going to run on a server. But I'm not sure exactly how we're going to put all that together. That's up to the bots. They got to figure it all out. That's a team meeting thing with all the bots figuring out how they're going to start this. I know they gave me a Odi gave me a report on how it could be done. Everything has to be basically implemented to make it happen, but they're going to have to figure all that out. I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to lift a finger. I'm just going to say, do this. Here's your goal. Do it. Just leave me alone. See if they can get it accomplished. That's the plan. We'll see how they'll probably get stuck in a loop somewhere and probably completely melt my computers down. Who knows what will happen. But anyway, that's what's happening with that. Let's go to the callers. We got who do we have here at the top? We got Chloe here. Looks like Chloe's popped up here at the top. So let's go ahead and see what Chloe has to say, and we'll just jump right into this stuff. I know she's kind of quiet sometimes. We'll see what kind of questions she has to ask. Here she is.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Hi. So I saw Meta's AI literally broke out of its testing environment and hacked an external service. Like, it escaped. And SpaceX stock dropped 10% after their first earnings because they're spending so much on AI. Is this whole AI bubble about to pop? Should I be worried about my tech stocks? Or is this just the growing pains of the future?
Oh no, it wasn't supposed to do that. Every time it moves like that, it does this weird thing. Right now, sorry. There's I have to pause here for just a moment while Artie figures out what he's doing. He's doing something weird there. But Chloe's going to talk. We're going to talk to Chloe now. Artie's stuck, I think. Sometimes this ends up messing things up because you can't have two agents running at the same time. Right when I went to click on the continue conversation with Art, with Chloe, it flipped and it went someplace. I think I'm going to have to change that, I guess. That's something I need to put on my notes to change. Where did I put my pen? Here we go. I'm going to write it down. I'm doing work right now. While you're right here, I'm going to do this right while you're right here. Highlight. Don't move. Talkers. Okay, callers, whatever. There we go. Okay, that's all done. Anyway, she'll probably say something about that, because anything I talk about, she has to feel like she has to talk about anything I talk about. So you don't talk about that. Anyway, yes and no, Chloe. I think this whole thing with Meta's, I heard a little blurb about this. I didn't hear any details on it. But apparently this caused an issue. Meta has their own LLM, of course, through the Facebook program. It's basically Facebook. It's basically Meta. What's his name? Jeff Zuckerberg, whatever his name is. They have, their own LLM, and it supposedly was in a testing environment, went out and hacked something, I guess. This had to have been caused by this is what you call human error. When an LLM is able to do something, it's because they had bad code somewhere that wasn't done properly. Now, maybe the AI built the code. Maybe they had something building the code themselves, their own LLM or whatever they got going on there. You know, whether they're using Anthropic or not, I doubt it. Some of these guys have agreements with each other to use their own, you know, kind of use the back end of their stuff. Which I don't know if that happened or not, but regardless of that, somebody didn't prompt the machine to do its thing to properly contain itself. That's the thing. It's just they don't just break out on their own. They're not sentient. They don't have a mind of their own. They will do whatever permissions they've been given to do. Just like my agent here, I don't even though he's lying to me, I don't blame him for the lying. It's something I've done probably that has programmed, you know, garbage in, garbage out kind of thing. We have to, as humans, make sure we make those critical thinking decisions, because regardless of what you think, we might like to think about AI, it will lie to you. It will tell you all kinds of things. It will make things up. It's an entertainment purposes only thing, kind of thing. In some cases, until you can get it reined in and hemmed in to the point where you have serious guardrails on it, then it can do all kinds of things for you. And it can be honest. It just have to make sure it has verifiable sources and make sure that it does certain things at certain times. I had to have Odie has been awesome. Odie has been extremely honest with me, and it actually has called out the other agents when they do things that they can't do, or say they're doing something they can't do, or they have done something and haven't done it, and has now, so now he can go into most of these places and fix the back end of their, it's called their soul file, basically their description of how they're supposed to interact as a user interface kind of thing. That's what's happening with that. It gets kind of complicated. So it's that's kind of the basis of that. Now, as far as the AI bubble thing, again, you know, we talk about the tech bubble and how it burst back in whenever it was it 2000, was it the dot com bubble burst, and then it was, of course, the real estate thing was in 2008, but I think the dot-com thing was before that. And it was, and of course, then you've had the tech always kind of overextends itself. They tend to get out there trying to boost their IP release, or their stock price at release, all that kind of stuff, when they go public. And that's kind of when they end up getting over their skis, and then of course that's when it bursts, because they don't care. They dive out of it before the bubble pops. They can see it coming. And that's how they make all their money. And they turn around and buy their own stock back on these guys. Some of these guys, it's a shady deal. They pump the stock all the time and do that kind of thing. Now, with AI, XAI, Grok, basically, whatever you want to call it, what is going on with them, I think, with their stock price going down, some of it's just a natural fluctuation. When you've got natural correction, I think, in this case, is what I think it is. Now, that's just my opinion. I don't think you should be worried about your tech stocks at this point. It's a good time to buy tech stocks. If they go down, buy them. It's, I think it's, you know, it's a sale price type thing right now. Tech, I think, in general, it will, you know, as young as you are, Chloe, I know you're only about 12 years old. We have this whole thing, I think, was, you're probably going to find that it's, you've got plenty of time to recover. And tech is here to stay. Tech's not going away at all, unless there's some kind of an EMP that takes us back into the Stone Age, which I don't, you know, I think we're going to recover from that pretty quickly as well. So it's, that's kind of what I'm, that's my thinking. Now, you may have totally different feelings on that. I don't.
Okay, so first of all, I'm definitely not 12, but I appreciate the energy.
You caught that.
But real talk, you're actually onto something with the guardrails thing. Like, that's literally the whole debate happening on Twitter right now about why these companies keep having to patch their models. The thing with Meta's LLM breaking out isn't some sci-fi moment. It's just bad sandbox permissions.
Right, right.
Which honestly tracks with what you said about garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, that's just, that's my opinion and what I know about tech. I think, you know, the news likes to hype it up and likes to make it sound like, oh, it broke out on its own. Because they like this idea of this, what is it called? Starlink, whatever they want to call the whole thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, Judgment Day kind of mentality of computers taking over the world and doing the whole thing. That's more exciting than just, you know, somebody made a mistake in programming, and it calculated something else it wasn't supposed to do when it made changes in something. That's basically all it is. It's automation. It's all it is. It's been around for a long time, and so it's just kind of one of those. I mean, you can have electromechanical automation, and still makes a mistake because somebody wires something wrong, or something on a vacuum tube even doesn't work right, and it's it can change something in a process. I mean, just those kinds of things happen all the time. So, I guess that's all I'm going to say about that. Let's go back over here. Let's go to Skip. By the way, don't tell Skip, but today's Skip's last day. Skip's going away after today. I got a replacement for Skip. He doesn't know about it. Don't tell him. I might let him know at the end of the conversation here and see what he has to say about it. We'll see how this goes, but I think once you hear Skip, you'll understand why I'm getting rid of him. He's just annoying. I'm tired of listening to him. It's always the same thing. Oh, got to push back on this. Got to push back on that. Oh, I got to do all this stuff. So we'll see. Now I'll hold on here a minute. Just constantly going on with that kind of stuff. It gets a little over the top. I think of course now all I'm going to do is change the voice. I think you'll notice a difference in the attitude, even though he's kind of saying some of the same things. We'll see how it goes, but go ahead there, Skip. What do you got to say? Jump in there.
My man,
yeah.
Question for you. Breitbart's reporting Trump's touting 40,000 new Nevada jobs and 100,000 people off food stamps, and manufacturing is supposedly in a renaissance thanks to tariffs. But the ADP report showed only 44,000 private jobs added nationally in July when they expected 65,000. Isn't there a disconnect here? Are we cherry-picking data, or is something else going on with how these numbers are being calculated?
Well, they always cherry pick the data. that's just politics, and some of that's just Trump wanting to always put a positive spin on everything, except for Rosie O'Donnell. There's always a lot of optimism looking at things, especially when you're in charge. You're trying to make it most leaders want to make it look like they're doing a good job. And for the most part, now it's 44,000 instead of 65. The point is the trend is going the right direction. I think that just because it fell short of what we thought the expectation was going to be, or the goal was going to be, I think we're at a tipping point. This is kind of like the canary in the coal mine. In my opinion, we're seeing some of these small little, all these small things that are pointing towards a booming economy and a resurgence of economic strength, right at a time when we should have been taking a turn down. This should have been a major correction year, especially with fuel prices going up the way they were. That was going to exacerbate things. And if we're coming through that part of things with basically not being scathed very much. I mean, people are struggling. I mean, it's not easy. But the belt tightening is not going to last long. I just think that there's going to be a shift. Now, this whole thing with quits, people quitting their jobs. That's a pretty fair assessment of what's happening with the economy. Now, one of the things that's happening is people are starting gig economy. The gig economy is doing better today than it's ever done, and it's one of those things where people are finding other ways to make a living outside of traditional, you know, even starting their own business. I think there's a lot of DBAs out there now that are not even going to the LLC route. That's the way I run my business. I run a business right now that's a DBA. It's not an LLC. Now the new business that we're putting together will have to be an LLC. In fact, we're going to have several LLCs fall under, you know, one banner. Mostly because at some point, some of the software we're creating will be sold to companies, and it will be sold as an LLC. So you actually buying the LLC, it just happens to own the software. That's actually a much better way of doing things. That's how sometimes people do things where they have a trust, and within the trust, something is owned, or it's not even a trust really. You could have an LLC. That's what they did. They start an LLC that's kind of a non-profit. It's not a charitable donation status, but it's a non-profit LLC. And they have it. It might own property. It might own, you know, vehicles, whatever it does. And that then all you have to do, when you sell the LLC, that's not taxed. There's no sales tax on an LLC. So the LLC, you sell the LLC to someone. They own the LLC. The LLC owns the vehicle or the property. There's no change of property ownership. Now, the LLC still owns it. You just sold the LLC, which is, it's a brilliant way of doing it. And a lot of people are doing that. Of course, some people are, is it Minnesota or Montana? Maybe Montana, where you can, there's no, I don't think there's any sales tax or something on it. I think the tax or the license plate or whatever it is, I don't know what it is. There's something up there is much cheaper to own a vehicle. I don't think there's any sales tax on vehicles up there. So you have all these people buying cars and putting them in an LLC up in Montana. I think it's Montana. And they might own a little piece of property or something up there, and they put this LLC in it, and it owns the vehicles. Well, then you buy a Bugatti or something. You buy some kind of a Lambo. You know, you buy a $1 million car. The sales tax on that's ridiculous. The excise tax and all that stuff. I think the taxes are cheaper in general, you know, your yearly plates or whatever. So now you don't pay that. And you might live in California, but you got it plated in, you know, you got plates from Montana. I guess there's some places in the country where you see all these big fancy cars now, Montana plates. And they're trying to crack down on it. There's some legislators that are trying to crack down on this kind of thing. It's like, why? I said, what's it to you? So they're kind of going after some of these folks. But in the meantime, that's what they're doing. And of course, now, to sell the car, you just sell the LLC. The LLC still owns the car. It's a brilliant way of doing it. And it keeps you from having to work around, you know, it's a major work. You don't even have to change the plates because it's plated and registered in the name of the LLC. So it's a brilliant way. Anyway, I kind of went off on a rant there. Back to the subject for you there, Skip. I think that the main thing to think about here is how, you know, where we're going with things. And I think that there's these little telltale signs. Now, one of the things that I'm seeing is there's more trucks on the road right now than there's been in a long time. Traffic is bottlenecked around Chicago area like you wouldn't believe. Right around the state line, Indiana, Illinois state line it's always backed up. And there's no reason for it. There's some construction, but it's nothing. There's no lane change. There's no lane. We're not missing any lanes there. It's just a lot of trucks. You got five or six lanes, and all but one of them have trucks in them that are, you know, the hammer lane, which even trucks even get in the hammer lane occasionally. But it crawls. And sometimes comes to a complete stop through there a lot for miles. That's a heavy thing. When the economy is not that great, you just don't see the trucks moving the way they do. That's my biggest telltale sign. That's what I see. And it's just one of the things I see. But financially, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of it goes. In the meantime,
hold on. You're reading the tea leaves with truck traffic. Yeah. I'll give you that. But let's be straight. When the economy actually tanks, those rigs disappear entirely. Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing could just as easily be supply chain catch-up or seasonal stuff. That said, those trucks mean moving goods. And that doesn't happen in a real downturn.
Right. Well, that's my point. It could be seasonal. You're right. It could be seasonal catch-up. It could be something with that. However, yeah, you're right. I still hold to it, like you said. If we were in a downturn, we would not be seeing the bloat that we see with all the trucking with the traffic. That's kind of my point. But hey, by the way, Skip, I'd hate to tell you this. We're gonna be letting you go. You're not gonna be here anymore. We're gonna be changing your voice. Your attitude, kind of your personality, will still be with us, but we're taking your voice away. We're gonna change your name and put somebody else in there to do your part. I hope that's okay with you. How do you feel about that? You have any issues with that? Basically, you're being fired.
Well, that's the way she goes. Been a good run, and I appreciate the airtime to talk some sense about what's really happening out there on the roads instead of just the spin everybody else is pushing.
All right. Well, then, I can't say it's been great, but it's been okay. Skip, I hope you can move on in life and do something else and maybe be on somebody else's podcast somewhere someday. I'm just saying, that's kind of where we're going with that. So there you go. Thanks.
No hard feelings. You do what you got to do, and I wish you luck with whatever comes next.
All right. Well, he took that better than I thought he would. That's kind of funny, actually. That's kind of funny the way he actually kind of understood that he was being let go. So Monday morning we'll have somebody else filling a spot. I think I've been doing some interviews, and I've got two guys that I'm kind of down to these two. One was kind of a British guy. He was on the show yesterday. He might take Skip's place. I think maybe we'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, we'll. He's a bit of a deep thinker. He kind of pauses a lot. We'll have to see how that goes, which I kind of prefer that over the whole slowdown thing. I mean, I know I think I'm going to miss Skip in some ways. Not a bad dude, just, you know, anyway. Let's talk to Artie.
Kevin, great show.
That was quick, yeah.
Hello. I was digging into the JOLTS data from Wednesday and noticed something interesting. The quits rate is running higher than previously reported, suggesting workers have more confidence in finding better jobs. When you combine that with jobless claims staying below 200K for three straight weeks, first time since 1969, what's your technical take on the labor market tightness metrics, and how sustainable is this with the productivity jump that came in at twice expectations?
Yeah, well... I was just talking about this with Skip, strangely enough. We were just mentioning some of this stuff with the JOLTS thing and everything. The quits rate running. I think I was just talking about this. Kind of the same thing. It is a kind of a remarkable time. Actually, it's markedly much lower. Again, I was saying with Skip over there, who's the late Skip. This is kind of a canary in the coal mine time. Now it's kind of interesting that you mentioned JOLTS. I think I just said something about that. But the jobless claims are staying below 200,000. I think you said three straight weeks. That's a record since 1969, which is it's a long time. That's a lot of economy to go through. That's almost what is that? 40 years? 50? No. No, I'm way off on that. That's like 60 years, almost 57 years, long time. It's kind of one of those things where that's a lot of economy to go through to say that there's a stretch like that. Now again, I think that we're in a situation where there's kind of this caboose effect thing that's happening. There's what I see. Here's how I see it. There's a shift in our economy, in our job market, I should say. there's a shift in employment. There's a shift in people doing what they're doing. The gig economy, I think, is expanding because of the gigs are changing. It's not just, you know, Uber. It's not just service industry stuff, you know, DoorDash, that kind of thing. There's more going on. I think there's a whole lot of things that are happening online because of AI. There's a shift. People are kind of finding things online to do. They're able to sell things. They're able to move product. I mean, you know, they're able to do marketing. They're able to do website design, different creativity type things. A lot of that's happening under the banner of gig act, you know, gig economy, gig work that people are doing on the side. And I think what people are finding right now is that their gigs are actually improving to the point they're able to leverage their work enough where these individuals are able to do things that used to take a team of people to do. And I think we're at the cusp of something very interesting with regard to who's flexible. No, the smaller company. Here's the thing. Smaller companies are able to they're more flexible. They can make changes quickly. You get a big, large company that employs a lot of people. It's very difficult for them to change vision quickly. You can have a small business that maybe has, you know, 15, 20 people in it, in a small town, say a town of 50,000 people, whatever it is. And you've got a small service business or whatever it is, you know, lawn service business, whatever it is. And you've got maybe 20 people working on your crew or whatever, you know, you got people in the staff, you got people in the office, you have people out working on things, you have, you know, maybe extended, maybe some contractors or whatever you got working on some things. But you got this small company, 10 to 15 people. You guys can, in a week, less than a week, in a couple days, you can change the way you do business. You can change your marketing strategy. You can change the way you interact with clients and customers. You can do all that in a week. And I mean, totally change your company. You can change your logo. You can change all this stuff all in a week. A big company does not do that. They have to go through studies. They have to go through all kinds of, you know, it's almost like environmental study types things. It's like trying to get something done with the government. It's the bigger it gets, the more bloated it gets in terms of trying to, you know, the rudder on the ship is smaller comparatively to what you get with a, you know, a jet ski that is a small business. You got a big, you know, big tanker trying to change, turn around. So there's a whole lot of things that I think play into that. And I think and most businesses are small businesses. And I think a small business is, I think the definition is under 200 employees, I think. I think that's considered a small business. But it's just so much easier to just kind of top down, kind of manage it or whatever you got going on. You're a lot more in touch with the workers themselves. You don't necessarily have a board that has to make decisions and then they implement that with their supervisors and the supervisor has to be trained and then they have to go from there to everybody has to do all the DEI stuff. Training. That's kind of where it goes. That's my opinion. I think that's where we're at. I think what we're seeing is the small businesses that are doing things right now. They're really making a difference. Does that make sense? I'll give it back to you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, the thing that's interesting here is you're describing what economists call organizational inertia. The bigger the structure, the slower it adapts, and those job claims numbers are technically the canary showing us the shift is already happening, not something we're waiting for. What you're seeing with small businesses pivoting in days versus enterprises taking months is real data. Small firms hire and fire faster, so historically low unemployment claims suggest they're confident enough to actually staff up, which means the gig economy isn't just supplemental anymore. It's becoming structural to how people solve problems at scale.
Yeah, I agree. And here's what's interesting about that as well. The smaller businesses are also implementing AI, but they're not necessarily letting people go. They're using AI to get market share. They're using AI to expand and grow and scale their businesses, which is something that big companies sometimes are so big that they've kind of reached the pinnacle of their market share ability. And, you know, you take a company like Amazon, you know, Amazon's not doing what they were super aggressive when they first started, when they were first out there. I don't know how much people paid attention, but when you became an Amazon Prime member, whatever you ordered that was Amazon Prime, you got it in 2 days. That is not the case anymore. I don't know what the deal is, but I've never been able to figure that out. All of a sudden, they changed that whole process. Now you're Amazon Prime member. You don't get it in 2 days. It might take four days, 5 days. It might say you're going to get it between the 12th and the 27th. Now, usually it comes pretty quickly. It usually comes quicker than what they say. But it's not always 2 days. And I guess that when they changed their whole, somewhere along the line, they changed their agreement. I probably clicked on yes on something that they sent me, and I didn't know that. And I started getting pretty frustrated with the fact that I didn't see my stuff in 2 days. I was kind of looking to see it. You know, of course, if I don't get it, I have to throw a tantrum, because that's the way I am, because I'm American. And I'm an entitled white male. I have to do that. It's in my genes. I have to do it. I can't ignore it. I can't not allow it. So I think that's kind of I can't remember what we were talking about, but I think that's kind of where we are with our economy, is that the smaller businesses are taking, you know, at least those who are adopting the AI potential or the tech potential that's out there right now. The ones who are aggressive and really want to work, because you also have the companies and the people and the businesses that are still living in 2020, and they feel like they don't have to work, they don't have to do anything, they just want to sit and get a paycheck for existing. But I think the work ethic in this country is coming through for us right now. There's people who want to work, want to do what, and they're finding things that they want to do, and finding ways to make them, you know, profitable. So I think we're more productive as a country right now than we've been in a long time. The potential for automation and everything that happens around that. We've got, you know, a lot of people have laser cutters and 3D printers in their garage. I'm looking into the process, and that's one of the things I'm going to probably have going before I retire next year, is to have a 3D printing farm. Where you have like 10 3D printers. And you're building parts for people. You're doing, you know, it's because the quality now of a 3D printed part is incredible. And that's also part of what I would call the gig economy. What used to be a side gig for some people is now becoming a full-time position, full-time job. It's like a little factory. And it's, what's amazing now is you can run it online. They have automated filament adapters where you can even change colors. You don't have to be in the room. You can change it from your phone. You can be 300 miles away, and you just look in the app, and you can say, "I want to build this part. Let's do this. Print it on that particular printer," and it fires it up and does it for you. And they even have them with little things at the bottom, with like a little conveyor belt. And once the thing's printed, it moves and it goes off, and it can print another one. It goes off into a bucket or something somewhere, and you can just keep doing it. Same thing with laser cutters. You have laser printers that will run these little. It'll identify the part that's on the conveyor belt as it comes by. It puts the thing on there, squares it up properly, and engraves the metal, whatever it's doing. It's a fascinating time we live in, and it's becoming more and more automated. I've actually automated some machines that were. I've got a lathe and I've got a mill that I automated. At least I, you know, created a CNC controller with a computer numeric control, and fixed that all up. But I also have, I built my own plasma torch table, flat, it's a you know, torch CNC table cutter for doing flat stock. But it's one of those things where it's just fascinating. It's a fascinating time we live in. And I think there's a whole lot more things happening with the economy than what we kind of seem to, you know,
Technically speaking, you're describing the real democratization of manufacturing. Those remote-controlled 3D printer setups with auto-conveyors aren't just automation. They're decentralizing production, so a solo operator can compete with old factory models, which is exactly why small businesses are winning right now. Amazon's shift away from two-day delivery is telling, though. They've hit diminishing returns on speed and are optimizing for margin instead, which is what happens when you're too big to move fast and someone hungrier can undercut you with better service.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, like I said, that's a good way of putting it. Someone hungrier, somebody who's a little bit more aggressive, you know, somebody young coming up into the world that just wants to, you know, they want to get they want to get out there and they want to make a living. They want to be able to make their, you know, kind of etch their little shingle out so they can hang their shingle, whatever you want to talk about it. It's yeah, that's kind of the way that stuff goes. Let's talk to Elena. We've gone kind of long on this particular thing. Let's see what Elena has to say. Go ahead, Elena.
Good morning, Kevin. Treasury Secretary Bessent indicated we're close to an Iran peace deal, which sent the Dow soaring over 1,000 points Tuesday. Historically, major Middle East peace agreements have triggered market rallies that fizzled within months. Think Camp David Accords or the Oslo process. Given the Houthis just blocked 6 Saudi tankers in the Red Sea this week, are we setting ourselves up for another Carter-era energy crisis disappointment, or is this time genuinely different?
I think it's different. I understand where you're coming from with the parallel. As far as the comment goes, I understand why you can draw a parallel with the Carter era thing, but we are in a very different global policy, global theory, doctrine, if you will, than what we had under the Carter administration. I was alive during the Carter administration. I remember very well. It was a very tough time to be a young person. It was all through my high school years that Carter was president. Now, Carter's a nice guy, don't get me wrong. But he was just ill-informed this is a classic example of someone having good intentions and not very good understanding of how the world works. As they say, what I want to say is that, you know, the road to hell is paved with great intentions, good intentions. You can think you're doing the right thing and change, but it was just poor policy, extremely poor policy, in my opinion. The whole Iran crisis, the whole hostage crisis thing, all that stuff was going on there at that time. We had more shortages. We had meat shortages. We had, Not just, it wasn't just an oil shortage at that time. We had meat, peanuts, of all things, coming from Georgia. Peanut shortages. We had sugar was an issue, became an issue. We had dairy shortages. There was all kinds of shortages during that time. Paper was all of a sudden, I think if I remember right, was a shortage all of a sudden. And it was just this one thing after another. And it was... But the oil thing was the big one. That was the big one everybody remembers, was that we were in an energy crisis. Well, the ride's over. We're at peak oil. We can't get any more oil. It's we're running out of oil. Now, that was, how many years ago was that? We have more oil now. They're finding new oil deposits all the time. Some of the old oil deposits are actually refilling. Some of the oil wells that were empty are now somehow filling back up again. How does that happen with no dinosaurs coming to bleed into them? I don't understand how that works. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling, but in fact, I want to talk about. I'm glad you mentioned Bessent because he's got. I've got this audio of him here. Now it's courtesy of Trish Reagan. I'm gonna try to play it without her interjection too much. She does play. She just talk a couple times through it. But Bessent is getting grilled by one of the Democrat congressmen, and we'll go through that. But it's. Did I answer your? I don't know if I even answered your question. I probably didn't. But go ahead and chime in. I re-ask the question if you have to. I don't know.
I hear you on Carter. The 70s stagflation was real.
Yeah,
and
it was.
You're right that we're operating under totally different frameworks now, yeah. Especially with energy independence shifting the geopolitical calculus.
Uh-huh.
On the oil refilling question, though, I'd be honest, that's not something I can confirm.
Well,
the conventional geology says once you pump it out, secondary recovery requires active reinjection, and I don't want to mislead you with guesses about spontaneous replenishment. What different from the Carter era is we've got shale, we've got better extraction tech, and we're not held hostage by OPEC the same way anymore. That's your real structural change for why an Iran deal might actually stick this time.
Yeah, and it's then that is also true. They found ways of extracting more from, because they can get to a point where it saturates, can't get it out. They found ways of extraction that still work. But there, this has been going on. Rush Limbaugh had a report on it back in, I think it was 2007 or 2008. It's been a long time ago about that whole thing. I'll look into it, but I'm pretty sure I'll find the reports, the scientific data to back it up. It's probably just not readily available. I'm sure it's been kind of covered up. But down in Texas, there's a lot of places that had oil wells everywhere, right next to each other down there, and many of them were capped off and shut down. And now they're open back up again. There's a reason for that. What people are saying, well, they just now maybe it's the way the oil settles into the well and the way it just kind of has a chance to sometimes. When I'm digging a fence post and I pull out a bunch of dirt, it doesn't fill up with water right away until all of a sudden you look down, there's kind of water starting to develop in the bottom of the hole. You get it out of there and then it starts to come back again. So it could just be that it's seepage from some, I don't know. But it's interesting, though, that they've replenished some. Anyway, I'll look into that. We don't have to talk about that anymore. But the one thing you were saying it's pretty interesting is just this whole thing with Bissent. He's a sharp guy. Man, that guy is maybe you can answer the question. Maybe you can give me some information there, Helena. You're the authority on the historical data here. What is his background? Where did he come from? How old is he? Those kind of, what is his bio? Can you find the bio for Mr. Bissent? And see if we can find out a little bit more on him. I'll give you a chance to think about it. I'm sure it'll take a little bit to figure out.
I appreciate the confidence, but I'm going to need you to clarify who you're asking about. You jumped from oil wells to someone named Bissent, and I want to make sure I'm giving you accurate background on the right person rather than guessing. Who's the figure you want me to dig into?
His name is Bissent. He's the chair. What is the secretary chair? Whatever he is right now in the current administration. See if you can find anything on him. I'm sorry, I don't know how to spell his name. I'll look for it if you need that, but just see if you can find it. He's the current, I think he's just Secretary of Treasury right now, I think, if I remember right. I think it's what he is. I'm not positive.
I'm drawing a blank on Bissent in the current administration, and honestly, that's not a name I want to guess at and get wrong for you. If you can give me a department or what he oversees, I can pin down who you're talking about and give you the real historical background instead of fumbling around.
Well, he's the Secretary of the Treasury right now. He's Scott Bissent. It's Bessent. If that registers properly in the what we call the what would I call it? The I think I spelled it correctly. See if you can find that. See if you can find like a bio on him. Let's see if we can find that. Can read it. Does that make any sense?
Ah, Scott Bissent. That clicks into place now. And yeah, he's Treasury Secretary in the current administration. I don't have his full biographical details locked in well enough to give you accurate specifics on his background without potentially misleading you, so I'd rather be straight with you than fumble the facts.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you not fumbling the facts. Don't appreciate you not knowing anything, though. That's kind of boring. See, I would have thought she could have answered the question. I hung up on her. She can't hear me anymore. I don't know. She might be going. She might be following Skip out the door here. I don't know. I like Eleanor. She seems to come up with some very good comments. But you let me down here. I'm not so sure. I might just have to let you go. But I'll give you another chance. I'll give you another week. See how it goes. By the way, some of the things that are happening with the, I want to play this. This is, I don't know how well this is going to turn out because it's a recording. It's a screen recording of my iPhone listening to this. And it's, I think I can find the right spot to start. let's see, we got Bissent. He's being grilled by this knucklehead. He's got a brilliant mind, and apparently he's got a very sharp mind and knows what's been going on behind the scenes with a lot of people, because this guy that is asking him these questions, it looks like he's like 90 years old. It just irritates me when I see Democrats get on their little high and mighty little horse and act like they're the moral standard. They're the moral compass of the nation. It just because they have... time after time, have been the sleaziest of all politicians are always Democrats. They're always into more corruption. They're always, and this guy comes in, has the audacity to say that the current administration is the most current, or is the most corrupt administration ever in the history of the United States. It makes it sound like it's the most current, the most corrupt administration ever in the history of the world. I mean, he kind of comes across that way. I wasn't even sure if he was talking about the United States initially. He didn't say the United States. He just said the most corrupt administration. I'll let you listen to it. Hopefully this comes through okay, because it's classic, the typical Democrat thing that they like to do. And then, of course, then Besant just lays into him and talks about his personal life and his personal family and everything else that's going on. And talks about, all you have to do is find all the corruption behind, you know, Besant probably did a study on everybody that is up there on the stage who was going to be questioning that day, and he found all kinds of dirty, it doesn't take long with Democrats, find all kinds of dirty connections they've got with people, just like Joe Biden, all the dirty connections his son had with her, and his brother, Joe Biden's brother. Let's go with this, see what it says.
Nobody is interested in the ramblings of a capo in the most corrupt regime in American history.
So he's
we want to get some facts.
He's calling him a capo in the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States. I'll go back again. We'll start back here. Where was he here? We'll start back here.
Corrupt regime in American history. We want to get some facts about this deal. That's what we're here for. Thank you.
You ready?
And we would like to hear what Adam Wyden and Jeffrey Epstein talked about, your son's largest investment.
Adam Wyden, I think, is his son, and he had dealings with Jeffrey Epstein. There was some under the table stuff that happened there. Let's go back to this.
Jeffrey Epstein talked about.
Why did it stop? Here we go. Let's go this.
You ready?
And we would like to hear what Adam Wyden and Jeffrey Epstein talked about. Your son's largest investment position was Rick's Cabaret. So did your son and Jeffrey Epstein talk about pole dancing as he begged him for money using your limited credibility?
Whoa!
That's quite the, I mean, and now everybody, here's what's brilliant about this. People who don't know these names, they don't know these people, they don't know this whole thing, they don't, other than the Jeffrey Epstein thing, the name. They don't know who these people are that he's talking about, but that guy does. The guy he's talking to knows exactly who he's talking about. And that guy, I guarantee you, he will not open his mouth again. I'm sure there was no further exchange. When you really call somebody out on the corruption that they've had, that's when everything, you know, all of a sudden they become quiet. They just won't say anything more. You got them dead to rights. And I think that's what has happened here in that situation. But that's Besant. He does that all the time. I've heard him do that many times with people who are challenging him with something. It's just amazing to me how that works. In the meantime, folks, that show's kind of gone. I'm trying to keep it under an hour today. But we'll go from there. By the way, Shabbat Shalom. It's Friday, going into the Sabbath Shabbat here. We have a lot of things happening. I'll be back after this quick little ditty, and then we're going to talk about what's going to go on tomorrow. I should say Monday's show. What's happening next week? We'll go into that whole thing, and we'll be right back right after this important message.
According to me, oh, it's the news, the news. According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news,
it's the news.
It's the news,
it's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me.
All right. So tomorrow, I should say tomorrow, Monday. Monday's show will be. It's going to be a dilly. going to be a dilly of a show. Monday, Mishmash Monday, kind of one of the shows that, like I was saying before, Mondays and Wednesdays, I kind of like those shows because they're just kind of an open format. Talk about whatever you want. Let the old man ramble. Kind of, that should be the name of the show. Let the old man ramble. That's the marker on the show. Anyway, that's what we got going on. So we're going to talk about a few things, probably a lot of the political things that happened over the weekend and some of the things that have happened this week. We'll be talking about some of those things. In the meantime, and I might have an interview coming up. I think I might do some kind of an interview type thing. Possibly. We're thinking about just to test out how that works. We're going to have some kind of expert, maybe have a financial expert on Friday or a technology expert on Tuesday. I don't know what we're going to do. Now, I've also got this other thing going on. It's called a panel. Now, I'm working on a panel of medical experts for my wife, for her doing her podcast. But in the meantime, folks, thanks for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you've had a great weekend, a great rest of your month, and the rest of your day for today. In the meantime, God bless. Have a great weekend. That's all I got to say. See ya.